Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to the Michael Cutler Hour. I am your host, Michael Cutler. I also wish all of you enjoying the festivities a very happy Halloween. It's always great to join you at the end of the week, and as I always like to point out, catch up with all of you. Play that amazing game of catch up, and especially in this political season with everything going on, there is ever so much to catch up on. To begin with, those of you who are familiar with me know that I'm a retired senior special agent with the former INS, Immigration and Naturalization Service, an agency that was ripped apart, reconfigured, put into the Department of DHS, an agency that's so thoroughly screwed up. I've come to call it the Department of Homeland Surrender, and indeed we are surrendering our nation, our sovereignty, our safety, and our well-being to folks from around the world. And this isn't about vilifying immigrants, it's about vilifying politicians who refuse to take their oaths of office seriously, refuse to take their obligations seriously, refuse to take what should be their commitment to the American people seriously. Immigration laws aren't a minor issue, they're a major issue. It's, as I like to point out, not a single, but rather a singular issue, because it impacts just about every challenge and threat we're facing. Ever since 9/11, I've taken my show on the road, as the saying goes, to provide the perspectives that you're not going to hear anyplace else. And what I tell you is based on fact, not rumor, not innuendo, not a hunch, because a wild idea crept into my brain while I was sleeping. This is the real world, and we face real problems, and we need real world answers and solutions, and the first step in solving a problem is to identify that you have a problem. That's the mission for this program. That's my mission. I don't always talk about immigration, but very often I do, and indeed tonight will be no exception. The focus tonight will be immigration, will be the statements made by our alleged political representatives and leaders. Boy, oh boy, there's an interesting statement when you consider most of these bozos who really need floppy shoes and big rubber noses. But in any event, two websites or three websites I very much want you to go visit. Of course, my own personal website, michaelcutler.net, one word, C-U-T-L-E-R, Michael Cutler. And then, of course, for many years, I've been affiliated with a terrific organization out in beautiful downtown Santa Barbara, California. Great place to be, especially as winter closes in, and that's Californians for Population Stabilization. And their website, capsweb.org, C-A-P-S, and they have been leading the charge to alert not just Californians, although certainly California has been getting clobbered, but they've been trying to warn all Americans about the real-world impact of the failures of border security and effective immigration law enforcement. And I have been writing for them as a senior fellow for a bunch of years. Love working with them. I have a new article that should be out within the next couple of days talking about the nexus between immigration law enforcement and intelligence in both senses of the term intelligence, but you'll have to read the article when it comes out. Capsweb.org is the way to find that. Pardon me. And the articles of many other experts in various fields that deal with the environment, that deal with the impact of immigration on the great state of California, and indeed on America. They've been hammering away at the issue of jobs and salaries and working conditions. And you know, it's really so remarkable that every politician who's running for everything from governor to mayor to senator, congressman, dog catcher, goodness gracious, talk about how they're going to help create jobs. My suggestion is before you start talking about create jobs, and this is an issue that I raised when I spoke at the Tea Party convention in South Carolina, Myrtle Beach, 3 years ago, almost 4 years ago, Newt Gingrich was there during the last presidential campaign. I guess it was 3 years ago. And I said, with all this talk about creating jobs, why in the world doesn't anybody talk about the need to liberate jobs? And he seemed really flummoxed. And he said, well, how do you create jobs? And I said, how do you liberate jobs, rather? I said, you enforce the immigration laws. It takes a long time to create a job. You have to come up with an idea to flesh it out. Then you need to convince people that your idea is likely to be successful and turn a profit so that you can get the money, so that you can create the jobs that you want to create. And then once you get the money, you have to find a location and you have to build a facility. And only then do you get to hire people. That process could take many months or even many years. The American people have no time to waste. They need jobs yesterday. We have a huge problem with unemployment, underemployment. The middle class is going the way of the dodo bird. And everyone is moving around glacially as though they're trudging through quicksand. We need quick, easy answers. And the easiest and quickest solution to the unemployment crisis and underemployment crisis is enforce the immigration laws and make certain that irrespective of race, religion, ethnicity, gender, I don't care. Just enforce the laws, disincentivize illegal immigration, liberate the jobs, and Americans will be able to get the jobs. And that is what they have been writing about. I see my friend Lauren Martell is on the line. I'm going to bring her on, but as I do, we will complete my thought, but let's bring Lauren on first. Happy Friday, young lady. Happy Halloween, Lauren.
I know. Happy Friday to you too, Michael. How are you?
I am terrific, and I saw your photograph, so I know how you are. You look fabulous.
Thank you. I am a little bit of a good witch tonight and a little bit of a bad witch, so we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm going
we'll
to our
which,
mutual friend.
We'll see which you are.
Yes, which.
Which
and
am
I'm going
getting
to our
tonight?
Mutual... Well, we'll see. You know, these topics probably are most likely, you know, going to turn me into just an upset American citizen. You know, I could probably go dressed like just an upset American taxpayer. That's probably.
I was
going to
say you could be a ticked off. You could be a ticked off witch tonight, Lauren.
Yeah, when I read this stuff, you know, that you so well research and put together and really, you know, make it so that it's very understandable to, you know, to the average citizen, it is just really disappointing, you know. I mean, I'm watching the local news from your area, and as you know, I was a New Yorker years ago, mm-hmm. not a New York Cityer, but a cow-tipping Syracuse New Yorker, you know, grew up in that state, and so disappointed to see what's going on now with local government at such a local level, city, county, or the city council level, voting to do things that affect the federal and national security of our country.
Absolutely. Before we continue on, let me just introduce you to my audience before we get up to our eyeballs in this. This is Lauren Martell.
I know,
Martell.
I jumped in the deep end.
Yes, you jumped into the deep end. No water wings, no nothing. So
right.
And thank you
time
for joining us. Lauren Martell is an attorney from Hilton Head, South Carolina, political activist. You had been a candidate for local office. And Lauren is the troublemaker who got me my invitation to my first Tea Party convention in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, which is what I was just talking about when I confronted Newt Gingrich. You were there at the bar when it happened. And I asked him about why we aren't trying to liberate jobs. And the guy ran as though... suddenly he realized I was radioactive. But Lauren...
Honestly,
is
I thought I saw his hair move when he was moving. He was running so fast, his hair started to fly in the air.
You know, and he turned to his wife. And I didn't think a guy with a gut that big could run that fast. This guy could have been in the New York City Marathon. And he just turned to his wife and said, let's get the hell out of here. Look, this isn't rocket science, folks.
Nothing like the
common
truth.
Sense.
Nothing like the truth and a politician in the same, you know, space. They obviously it's hard. You can really find out who's for real, you know, when you address
and
them with...
And unfortunately, there aren't many. There are some. My friend Jeff Sessions, Lou Barletta, Steve King, Louis Gohmert, Senator David... oh, my goodness, I'm having a senior moment. But there are a few that are, Chuck Grassley certainly, but so many of these folks are lying through their teeth, attempting to mislead the American people... David Vitter, by the way, is the name I was searching in vain for. David Vitter is another good guy. Yeah. But, you know, I wrote this article for Front Page Magazine. I believe you read it, Immigration Politics, Where Facts and Common Sense Are Ignored. And as a
it's
jumping
an
off
article.
Point, thank you. Mm-hmm. And as a jumping off point, the New York City Council, I mean, this blows my mind. The great majority, we're not talking about the lunatic fringe. You know, there's always some fool that will vote, you know, for flying saucers and all kinds of. This was like
41-6.
Yeah, I mean that's a resounding majority voting to throw immigration agents out of Rikers Island, which is a prison, And they're saying that no, we're not going to turn illegal aliens over to ICE. unless they've committed serious felonies. You're an attorney. Do you know of any trivial felonies? I mean, this is remarkable. By definition, a felony is serious. And it has to have happened within the last 5 years, or their names have to show up on terror watch lists. Otherwise, we're not going to let immigration know anything about them, which, by the way, is a crime known as harboring, shielding, aiding, abetting, inducing, encouraging. I mean, this is astonishing. And, of course, the administration's response is, yay, this is great. Because, you know, there's an old Yiddish expression, when the fish goes bad, it smells from the head. So they're just following the lead of what I would argue is the most screwed up and incompetent and inept and perhaps most corrupt administration this nation has ever seen.
Yeah, well, and it's supported by the mayor, you know.
Well, our mayor is a guy that we've come to call Dumb Blasio. He's trying to give illegal aliens identity documents. Never mind the 9/11 commission. Never mind that New York City got hammered absolutely flat out the worst on 9/11. I mean, the irony is mind-boggling. Never mind the Real ID Act. He wants to give identity documents to people who snuck into the country. What does that mean? We can't verify who they are. John Lehman, who had been Secretary of the Navy and a member of the 9/11 Commission, attacked Dumb Blasio over this and said, how in the world can you do this? You're violating the 9/11 Commission. Because the media almost ignored that vital fact.
Well, I haven't heard anybody cite to the 9/11 Commission report, which it should be the document. I mean, that should be the go-to document, you know, aside from the Bible and other documents. I would say that's one of the top documents that you want to go to for Homeland Security in America. And I know you were part of, you know, putting that together too. But, you know, I'm reading in this article where it says the speaker who was sort of speaking out about why this was a justifiable decision by the New York City Council. She says something that's so vague. It says, you know, earlier this month they were saying that immigration families were looking for better lives and they're needlessly torn apart because of gaps in the law. And so that's one of their justifications for why they went ahead.
Family reunification.
I'd love to talk to those six people. Do you know who those six people are that voted against this?
I have to find out, and I will. But you know what? I wrote an article a very long time ago where I spoke about family reunification. First of all, why are families being split up in the first place? They're being split up because people living in countries like Mexico, where the opportunity should exist. Mexico has a very vibrant economy. The wealthiest man in the world lives in Mexico. He's a citizen of Mexico. I mean, think of that dichotomy. So they've created hell on earth for their own citizens. They use America as a safety valve so they could send us their poor. Their poor come here to get exploited. I mean, it's hardly the American dream to work for $10 an hour or $7 an hour off the books in a hellhole, which I used to raid when I was a new agent. We used to do the factory raids and so forth. But I said something else. The families are being split up in the first place because of the complicity between the U.S. and the corrupt oligarchies of Mexico. There's no reason why Mexicans should have to look to the north to see success. They should be able to be successful within their own country. But here's the other point. With all this talk about, you know, we need to keep families united, I know of another family reunification, but what I suggest would require nothing less than divine intervention. How about the family members of those people who were killed on 9/11? How about the family members who were ripped from the bosoms of their families by drug dealers, by drunk drivers with no driver's licenses who evaded the inspections process to come here? How about all these people who are destroying the lives of Americans and lawful immigrants? And by the way, this isn't an anti-immigrant position. The most likely victims of the violence perpetrated by transnational criminals are the members of the same ethnic immigrant communities. So we hear this mythology, oh, we need to have compassion. I was in Washington 2 weeks ago with Progressives for Immigration Reform, and I wrote a position paper, a policy brief. And when I delivered it, and I can't wait for them to post the video, I said, why does compassion never apply to Americans any longer? Why are we willing to accept that 1 in 4 American children now live below the poverty line, and if you dare talk about it, you're told you lack compassion? Does compassion not relate to American families and American children?
Sure.
Am I crazy?
I mean, it's a double standard.
Am I crazy?
No. No, and I've known you for 5 years, and you are absolutely not. You're right on point. And what's going on is that the rest of America has been sort of duped into this feeling that they have to be so politically correct that they literally have to give their own rights away and their own protections. And when I read Title 8, USC 1324 that you cited, I mean, it's just such clear black letter law. To me, it should be something
you would think. It's part of the smuggling statutes. And in fact, I was part of the first anti-smuggling unit in New York City. So when I write about this stuff, as I say, this wasn't just a hair grew up my tail and now I have this idea. I spent 30 years enforcing these laws, making the arrests. And by the way, let's have a little more clarity. It can't possibly be anti-immigrant to favor the enforcement of our immigration laws, because the laws don't tell us only who to kick out and who to keep out, but who to let in. Every year we admit more than a million lawful immigrants, more than the rest of the world combined. And the term lawful relates back to the immigration laws that I want them to enforce. So think about how crazy. You're anti-immigrant. Really? I support the laws by which we allow a million aliens to immigrate. I'm in agreement with it, and that makes me anti-immigrant. Oh, my goodness. And a final thought on this whole business. We're being told about what we need to do to reunite these families and all this other nonsense. But nobody ever again was willing to talk about how this threatens national security or anything else. And, in fact, right now, I don't know if you've been following Fox News. Fox does a better job than the other networks, but I have issues with them sometimes also, even though I appear on their programs fairly frequently. And today they were talking about Mary Landrieu over in Louisiana playing the sex card and the race card. And, of course, nobody pointed out, well, somebody finally did, she won election not once but twice to the U.S. Senate. How anti-woman can they be in that state when she already won? It's not like her first go-round and she's saying, well, I don't think I'm going to win because they hate women. No, she's been a senator for 12 years. Doesn't work. But here's the other point. The people at Fox were saying, well, this is race baiting. And what I really was screaming at my TV is, isn't it race baiting to talk about the Latino vote? Is this any different when you talk about the president appealing to Latino voters? You mean every voter whose last name is Garcia or Rodriguez thinks the same way, has the same values, and favors lawlessness in this country? What an insult that is to people of Latino ethnicity. So many of these people that make reasonable statements still don't get it completely for one reason or the other. I don't accept this notion of the Latino voter, because it's the Latinos and American blacks who are suffering the worst poverty, the worst unemployment, and the worst violence, and the worst hopelessness. Why in the world would somebody whose last name is Rodriguez say, oh, this is great, let's have more of the same?
Yeah. Actually, I mean, A lot of Hispanics are very conservative, and we know Juan Torres, who's out of Florida, is somebody that we mutually know from, the conventions that we have. And and he, speaks out about some of these issues. But, going back to your being on a lot of the different programs and Fox News, and I know you've appeared on Megyn Kelly and you've appeared on Neil Cavuto. And,
and most recently a lot with Newsmax TV and with One American News Network as well. new upstart companies.
Per se, but other people who want to shut the dialogue down, that is the fastest way to shut down a dialogue, is to try to, impede into your First Amendment right to free speech and have a normal debate. I mean, you and I know that we can talk for hours, literally hours,
and
we're
do.
Not always going to agree on everything.
And we do.
And we do. and thank God we do, because that expands our understanding of what's going on and, how to problem solve. Because if you don't talk about things and communicate, that's half the battle to solving problems. And that's really, sort of the real quick soundbite now to shut down articulate debate on these issues. And that goes right to you're a racist or you're a hater or you're,
a nativist.
You're not embracing
bigot.
Multiculturalism.
A lot of people that will just
stop them in mid, sentence, and, they just won't continue on. Fortunately, you persevere past that and actually continue on, and that's what's the most important thing, is that we don't let fear or race baiting shut down an important dialogue.
No, we need to stand up for ourselves. And, you know, I'm in a documentary with Mark Hager. In fact, I was just on the phone with Mark. The Tea Party Patriots came out with an amazing movie. I've been in a bunch of documentaries, and some were pretty good. But I've got to tell you, the newest one that was just released about a week and a half ago, is flat out the best film I've ever been affiliated with. It's called The Border States of America, and the tagline, the subtitle, is Every State is Now a Border State. Sounds like something somebody I know pretty well has been saying for a long time. They interviewed Senator Jeff Sessions. They interviewed Congressman Steve King and Louis Gohmert. They interviewed border sheriffs, ranchers, and then they asked me to fly down to Atlanta, and I sat in front of the cameras for a couple of hours, and you know how that works. A couple of hours translates into about, I don't know, maybe 4 minutes on the, in the film. But I have to tell you, I'm so proud to be part of it. And really, folks, it's a free film. You go to the Tea Party Patriots website, and it's The Border States of America. You can just put it into Google. You'll find it. Go to my website, michaelcutler.net. I also wrote about it for Front Page Magazine, where I'm now also a columnist. And, in fact, in 2 weeks, I'm going to be with the David Horowitz Freedom Center's Restoration Weekend in Palm Beach, Florida. I can't wait to get to Florida. It'll be fun.
That'll be great.
But I want everyone to see the film. And it's free. I mean, they're asking for contributions, if you can, because they want to recoup some of the money. They put over six figures into this. And they're looking to do a sequel to look at interior enforcement that I hope to work with them on. So please go see the film. They put it out there for free. They just sent me a box of DVDs so I could hand them out to people that I feel need to see it. This isn't about turning a profit. It's about turning America back to where it belongs. And to your point of disagreeing, I was having a conversation with some of my conservative friends last week. And I said, you know, I happen to favor the $15 an hour minimum wage, and they don't. I understand why they don't, but they understand why I do also, why I favor it. But here's my point. $15 an hour is not going to get anybody out of poverty. So the administration says, we stand with you, with the workers of America, $15 an hour. Really? Do you really think that you can buy the American dream for $15 an hour? In New York City, $50 an hour doesn't quite cut it. So what is this really about? This is about the destruction of the middle class. I wrote about this for Front Page. I wrote about this for CapsWeb.org. And, in fact, my article for Front Page, I called it The Engineered Destruction of the Middle Class. And this is being done per the orders of Alan Greenspan. You know, we're all hearing about income equality. You've heard about it. And you know what they want to make equal? Not the middle class and wealthy, but the middle class and poor. And nobody is getting on the elevator without first asking if the elevator is going up or down. Understand the problem.
Definitely.
They want to make
this
the standard wage. They want to make this the standard wage, Lauren.
Sorry. History in the making. I mean, when we can step back away from it far enough so that, you know, it's not emotional, because obviously, and when you're in the middle of it, it is an emotional thing, and that's where they've got a lot of Americans, you know, kind of tossing around chaotically on what's really going on. But as you step back, I mean, you know, even the movie that you're in, that's going to be one of those, this is what could have, you know, if they had implemented this, very similar to the 9/11 Commission Report. This is a movie. This is a visual. This is a documentary on, you know, this is what you need to do if you want to have a Western civilized society that's prosperous and has a chance at their, you know, citizenry being safe and walking around pretty much free as you can in any, you know, society. I mean, clearly a representative republic has to have, you know, some rules and some, you know, legislation has to be there.
You can't have anarchy.
Right. You can't. And so they're literally spinning it so that it's almost anarchy, so that they can actually just absolutely overwhelm the system that we have in place. And,
well, you know what's so, I'm sorry, go ahead, Lauren.
Well, no, I mean, I that's, you know, just one of the things that we're witnessing. And, you know, so if you go back and look at any sort of really great society that, you know, had its peaks, you know, Greece or Rome or any of them, you know, you can go back and kind of see, okay, well, where did it go wrong? And what we're doing here is very similar to that. You know, they diluted their money, they diluted their, you know, value of work, and didn't really necessarily, you know, use their resources, their natural resources, in a fiduciary way anymore. It was very blasé. And that happened. And so it's, you know, I heard General Bees. I went up to Washington, D.C. And went to the Value Voter Summit, and it was a great weekend. And there was a panel of some of our military experts who have been, you know, in the kinetic theater and also just over here stateside. And one of the generals was General Bees, and he said, you know, a large threat to American society today is actually the internal apathetic majority.
Yep.
So, you know, we've got a porous border. We've got we've pitted our state law enforcement against our federal law enforcement through politicians. And I sent you a Groucho Marx video. I don't know if you had a chance to see it yet. It's only 13 seconds.
No, I didn't. I'll watch it. I haven't seen it. No.
It's the world famous one where he's, you know, got his brother on the stand, and he's you know, he's saying some stuff, and it's 13 seconds, and it's hilarious. But that really reminds me of where our politicians are coming from, too. And they say, you know, he may look like an idiot, and he may talk like an idiot, but don't let him fool you. He really is an idiot. And so what we've got here is we've got people who are saying things that are crazy, acting like crazy people. And, you know, so in conclusion, you know, we have to say we are being led by people who aren't making always the smartest decisions.
Well, let me give you a good example. You give me a great lead in here.
Okay.
Chuck Schumer was one of the eight gangsters. You know, the Gang of Eight?
Yeah.
Now,
yeah,
Schumer,
I know,
was
Lindsey Graham's one.
Yes, well, yes. But Schumer was ranting and raving, as did Mayor Bloomberg, about trespassing and why it needs to be punished. So picture this. There's a newspaper article that came out. And it was just this past week, this was October 14th, CBS News reported. Now, the title of the article on the website, Mayor de Blasio heads to D.C. for meetings on New York City security and counterterrorism. And it starts out saying, Mayor Bill de Blasio is heading for Washington, D.C. Tuesday for meetings about city security and counterterrorism. De Blasio, Police Commissioner Bill Bratton of the NYPD, and some other folks, are headed to Washington with the FBI to meet with heads of Homeland Security and the FBI. And then it says the meeting comes a day after Senator Charles Schumer proposed making trespassing on critical infrastructures like major bridges or important buildings punishable by up to 5 years in jail.
Mm-hmm.
And so they then go on, and I have to read this because it just blew me away. I said, wow, what a lack of mouth-ear coordination. Schumer, like Bloomberg, can't hear the words that comes out of his own mouth. So he talked about how let me start out by seeing where we are. Okay. He's talking about these guys that had gotten onto the Brooklyn Bridge and took down the American flag, if you remember those pictures where the American flag came down and these big white flags came up, and then they unfurled a Palestinian flag on the Manhattan Bridge, and then some guy jumped off the World Trade Center and so forth. And so here's what Schumer
says.
Yeah,
and was there like a Russian tourist or something on the Brooklyn Bridge?
Yes, yes, correct.
Okay.
And so then he says this. Critical infrastructure is defined by the Patriot Act as systems and assets so vital to the U.S. that the incapacity or destruction to them would have a debilitating effect. In fact, he starts out, there's a sentence before. Let me do the sentence before. I'm doing the sideways. While individuals like this may have meant no harm, their acts put commuters and first responders at risk, Schumer said. They also inspire copycats who may have much more evil plans in mind. And so then he makes that statement, critical infrastructure is defined by the Patriot Act as systems or assets so vital to the U.S. that the incapacity or destruction of them would have a debilitating effect. Quote, that would be a bridge, a power plant, the air vents, and one of our tunnels, and then they go on from there. Miller and Schumer then said new legislation will help serve as a deterrent. And so here is the quote. When stunts like this occur, the New York City trespassing law has a maximum of 1 year, and it's often only 3 months, Schumer said. That's not enough punishment to deter this behavior. It's time to change that. Schumer said that this legislation is based on another federal law protecting railroads. Stop the music. Wait a minute. Trespassing can be deterred by tougher punishment? Wow. Let me see now. When an alien runs the border, and I know they like to call them undocumented, they're also uninspected. As an immigration agent, we used to use three letters to describe an alien who ran our border. It was called EWI, entry without inspection. This is similar to somebody sneaking on an airliner without going through TSA. No person in their right mind would get on the plane.
Yeah.
So you've got
and
aliens
now, like, maybe they even have Ebola or some crazy thing. Like, you know what I mean? That's one of the reasons why we're supposed to have it.
Lauren, let me just finish my thought. Hang on. But here's my point. Okay. Trespass on America, and Schumer wants to give you a pathway to citizenship and says that the solution to deterring trespassing is enhanced punishment. Well, wait a moment. Yeah. Why aren't we then willing to have enhanced punishment for people who trespass on America instead of deterrence? What Schumer is really saying, if you flip it backwards, according to what Schumer does with immigration, we should be giving building passes to the folks who trespassed on the World Trade Center, so next time it won't be trespassing, but it'll be legal.
Yeah.
It's mind-boggling. Understand that what Schumer said is actually the way you deal with violations of law. You enhance the penalties, and you make damn sure that you enforce those penalties. Why aren't we doing it with immigration? And the answer is very simple. Schumer and John McCain and Lindsey Graham and all these others can say what they want. They are ecstatic to see this unabated flow of foreign nationals charging into America. Never mind the 9/11 Commission identified border security as a key issue for national security. They don't care. And the 9/11 Commission, as I pointed out to a chairman over in a House committee, very important House committee, a Republican, conservative, and I turned the guy purple with one simple question. Why isn't the 9/11 Commission report, why is that not the starting point for any discussion about any immigration legislation? And let me tell you something, Lauren, it would have been easier to ask this guy about his sex life. I asked that question three separate times in 30 minutes and never, ever got anything that became close to a straight answer.
Yeah, they're really, it's
obvious that what is happening
is
the desired outcome. Understand, folks, this is not what you may think it is. They get up there and they say, oh, we've got to deal with this crisis. And how do they want to deal with it? They want to exacerbate it. We just discovered we're going the wrong way on a one-way street, and the solution? Jump on that gas pedal and stand on it with both feet. What could possibly go wrong?
Wow.
I want you to think
exactly
of that image.
That is exactly it. Yeah.
I mean, if Schumer gets it.
I get nervous thinking about it. It's crazy.
Well, if Schumer understands that trespassing is a problem, and it is, and as he said, maybe the people that are trespassing are relatively harmless, maybe not, we don't even know who the heck they are, but the solution is to give people who trespass a path to citizenship? Really? But if you trespass on the Brooklyn Bridge, he wants you to go to jail for 5 years? I mean, the disconnect is beyond words. Clearly, Schumer and Lindsey Graham and John McCain and the president and all these other knuckleheads are ecstatic that this is happening. They can say what they want, but you know, my mom used to say to me that actions speak louder than words. Why does Schumer not then say, you know what, just the way we have to keep those trespassers off the Brooklyn Bridge and critical infrastructure, we need to keep trespassers out of the United States. The same philosophy should apply. Tougher laws, tougher enforcement, and let's convince the people from around the world we're serious about our laws. You won't hear that from Schumer because he is the cheering squad. He's jumping up and down. And here's a question to think about, folks. How many members of Congress are immigration lawyers? Both parties. So when they see millions of people charging the border, they don't see illegal aliens. They see clients for themselves and their buddies. How's that for a sobering
thought? I mean, there is a lot of that going on, you know, just really temporal, too much of a emphasis on, you know, people's selfish agendas. But that being said, you've got a great article here, and I am highly going to recommend it to all my friends. I'm going to put this on my Facebook wall. I'm going to send it in email, you know, to all my friends. And you know who's having a Halloween party tonight that I'm going to is Susan and her husband, and this is like their 7th annual Halloween party. So I am going to have to finish getting my makeup on and move on down the road for that. But I'm looking forward to seeing you again at the you know, annual Myrtle Beach convention. I saw your name already on there.
I'm going to be there.
So
excited. Did you? I haven't seen it, but I know Joe Dugan. He's an amazing. I don't know how this guy gets all that work done. I think he's going dressed for Halloween, he's wearing a cape, but it's his actual uniform.
He's
the guy's
Superman.
Right?
He is, and he's doing great things. And then there's a few other things that are going on in South Carolina that I'm really excited about talking to you about.
Okay.
You know, coming up for February or March too. So,
oh wow.
I know, and I think
South
Carolina
is an awesome place to be in the dead of winter. I got to tell you, Lauren, I can't imagine a better place.
Yeah. Well, we love you down here. And so I am going to let you go for this evening, and I'm so honored, as always, to be a part of, you know, talking about these issues on your show.
Well, I thank you so much, and I thank you for your hard work. You know, you take your responsibilities as a citizen so seriously, Lauren, and it's really a privilege to work with you, to work with Joe Dugan. And please tell Susan and her husband that I say hi. I hope she will be at the convention in January.
I think so. I think she'll plan on being there. So we're excited
terrific.
About that. I'm going to say good night to you, and I'll talk soon.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Have a great weekend. Thank you, Lauren.
Thanks.
Well, that was Lauren Martell, who dropped in for a bit to discuss the madness that passes for our government today. I'm glad that you folks are all out there listening to the show and hopefully enjoying it. You know, we've really got to get serious about what's going on in our country today. And the only way that this is going to happen is if we, the people, actually get involved in our government. Because right now, that is not happening. There is no way that the average American is really involved. And this is what the politicians are absolutely looking for. Because by failing to be involved, the politicians understand that they have a clear path. There's nobody running interference. They are getting to do exactly what they want to do. This is a very dangerous set of circumstances. And we have ourselves to blame, we the American people who are not involved. Those of you who are involved, all I can tell you is I really appreciate everything you do. But for those of you who understand that this is a perilous time in the history of this country and indeed the world, we need to redouble our efforts. You know, Lauren is a conservative Republican. I'm a Democrat from Brooklyn. We're good friends. We don't always agree, as she pointed out, but we agree on the need to do what's in the best interest of our country. We can't afford to sit the dance out. By the way, if you want to call in, the number here is 310-982-4145. 310-982-4145. You're more than welcome to call in and tell me what you think. Because, you know, if you look at what Schumer had to say, jumping up and down and ranting and raving and talking about how, you know, there's no way you can deter people from trespassing when they get 3 months in jail. What happens about deterring people when they get identity documents and health care and all the other stuff that we provide illegal aliens and tell them that they have now earned the right to citizenship? I mean, why isn't Schumer standing there and saying, well, if you trespass on the Brooklyn Bridge, you've earned the right to set up a little tent on the bridge. You can live on the bridge if you like. If you trespass on the World Trade Center, we'll give you a free office in the building. How about that? Imagine if that happened. Imagine if Chuck Schumer took the same approach with the people who trespass on buildings as he's done with immigration. Imagine if Schumer said to people, hey, you know what? It's not a good idea to trespass on the buildings. We really can't stop it from happening. So the only thing we can realistically do is give you a building pass and maybe give you an office that you can use so that you will no longer be trespassing. Would that make sense to anybody? And yet nobody ever calls him out. Nobody ever says to Schumer or anybody else, hey, wait a minute. Trespassing is trespassing is trespassing. Trespassing means entering upon lands or a facility to which you have no legal right to be on. Okay? That's trespassing. An alien who evades the inspections process is a trespasser. Now, if we follow Schumer's recommendations for dealing with the people trespassing on buildings and critical infrastructure, then we need tougher punishment and tougher penalties and actual enforcement. But nobody is discussing that disconnect between Schumer's mouth and Schumer's ears and Schumer's statements and lack of reason and lack of honesty and lack of integrity. So we hear this nonsense. Hey, listen, We can't possibly stop all these people. We can't deport 11 million. Well, it's probably 34 million at least. Remember now the administration wants to order up 34 million green cards. I wonder who that's for. And then they ask the White House press secretary, and he says, oh, we don't get involved in ordering office supplies. Office supplies? That's not pencils, crayons, and erasers, folks. That's not printer paper, and that's not an ink cartridge. We're talking about alien cards for aliens being granted lawful status. That's not just office supplies. It was one of the most incredible statements I've ever heard, but nobody seemed to follow up on that lunacy that passed for a response. And the guy's name is Ernest? Really? Maybe not so Ernest. His middle name is not so. I mean, this is astonishing. It's astonishing. And so the more illegal aliens who are here, the less capable or less likely we are to enforce the law. So if you want to talk about safety in numbers, there you have it, folks. Safety in numbers. The more who come, the less likely we are to act. So the more who come, the safer they are and the less safe we are. And, you know, the chickens are coming home to roost. And I don't care what the stock market did today. That has no impact on America. It really doesn't. You want to know about America? You look at what's happening with Atlantic City, that it's going bankrupt. Now, why do you think Atlantic City is going bankrupt? Just stop and think. We have destroyed, or well on the way to destroying, the middle class. Who but the middle class would buy all the dreck, all the garbage that they do? Think back, for those of you old enough to remember the Pet Rock. And if that wasn't dopey enough, a year later they made even more money marketing and successfully selling the training manual to the Pet Rock. I mean, imagine the guy that shows up at work one day and they say, Charlie, you look exhausted. And he says, oh, I was up all night, but I finally did it. And they said, what did you do? I got my Pet Rock to play dead. I mean, really? The Pet Rock? So it's the middle-class consumer that has been keeping so many of these companies afloat and successful. So they are basically killing the goose that laid the golden egg. You destroy the middle class, you destroy the consumer base for so many of our companies. You destroy the consumer base, many of these companies are going to find themselves going bankrupt. I'm very much concerned that what we're seeing in Atlantic City is the tip of an iceberg. And it will continue until we wake up and understand that, contrary to what we're told by the thieves and liars, that Americans must do well for America to do well. I actually had a heated argument with somebody who had been a key official over at Immigration, DHS, Department of Homeland Surrender. And this guy actually had the chutzpah to say to me, oh, Mr. Cutler, you're old school. You actually believe that Americans need to do well for America to do well. You know what? It took the wind out of my sails. I could not believe that level of duplicity, that level of betrayal. Americans don't need to do well for America to do well, then I want to know what America is. Is it a landmass? Is it a flag with nothing behind it? Or is it a bunch of companies that try their damnedest to avoid paying taxes here, import cheap labor, and when they're able to build factories overseas? Is that what America is? What exactly is America? I mean, I want that question to sink into your head. I want you to ask yourself that question when you go vote on Tuesday, and please go vote. What is America? Is it just a landmass? Or is it the people of this great country? It would seem that for so many of these bums, the people are irrelevant. They almost look at us like ticks on a dog or fleas on a dog. Irrelevant. Are we really irrelevant? We are allowing ourselves to become irrelevant because we're not involved. We're willing to accept the garbage being spouted by these people. When Chuck Schumer stood there and talked about how you stop trespassing by revving up the punishment, why is it that not one person stood up and said, well, wait a minute, Mr. Senator, you have tens of millions of trespassers in America today. Why aren't you thinking about using that same strategy to take care of the illegal immigration crisis in America today? Because to Schumer, we the people off fleas on a dog. What matters is the dog. And for him, the dog is the cash machine that makes his political contributions and helps him to get reelected every year, because this guy has never had a job in the private sector. He has been in government from day one. That's all he can think about is winning elections. Never mind securing this nation. Oh, he makes the great speeches. I mean, you never want to get between Chucky Baby and a camera in Washington. He'll probably stomp on you and trample you in his headlong dash to get his mug on camera. But how in the world can you not understand that if you continue to bring in more workers than the number of new jobs that you're creating, and according to the Center for Immigration Studies, almost every new job goes to the newly arrived, whether we're talking about illegal aliens or aliens with temporary work visas or aliens with green cards. They're the ones getting the jobs, and the old-time Americans are being left out in the cold. And indeed, winter is coming. Why does no one ever look at that situation and say, wait a minute, we the people are not being represented? You know, we listen to Obama, and now he knows damn well that the American people are opposed to a blanket amnesty for, and believe me, it won't be 11 million. You know, Reagan, it's both sides of the aisle, we used to call them Ronnie Reagans back at the old INS, gave us that first amnesty, hired no agents, and we wound up with a catastrophe, which is what has encouraged all the illegal immigration that has followed. But back then, the Reagan administration told us, and we were agents at the time, so we were getting what we thought was reliable intel. Oh, we're dealing with about a million, maybe a million and a quarter aliens. We wound up with almost 4 million, between 3.5 and 4 million. So now we're being told 12 million. It'll probably be that number. 34 million is sounding more and more probable. And yet, no one says a word about this. So the president knows that the American people, by and large, are opposed to it. He knows that the American people don't like what he's doing. And he doesn't care. He doesn't care. Would that he would be so willing to confront ISIS the way he's willing to confront the citizens of the country he was elected to represent and serve. This is astonishing. It's astonishing that we have a president who knows damn well what the American public wants and is determined to do everything in his power to make sure we don't get it. This is a betrayal that's hard to comprehend. And then you're told, if you listen to the news reports, oh, if you don't want to vote for Mr. Obama, it has to do with his race. No, it doesn't. He happens to be the first black president. But I've had lots of white presidents I took issue with, and it wasn't because they were white. So why is it if I disagree with a president who happens to be black that it must be that he's black that motivates me to be opposed to what he's doing? These are all arguments that make no sense. And yet there are people who are foolish enough to listen to this garbage and think it makes sense. When people start throwing these false accusations around, we've become intimidated into rolling over and playing dead for the people who insult us and attack us and attempt to bully us. And it's only going to get worse until we grow a spine or something else and stand up to the people that are making the false accusations. It is not racist to say that we need to enforce our immigration laws. The most likely victims of the crimes that are perpetrated by transnational criminals, I've said this before this evening, I'm going to say it again, the most likely victims are the members of the same ethnicity within those immigrant communities. I used to raid the massage parlors, the hooker houses, brothels, whatever you want to call them, whorehouses. And the great majority of clientele, depending on what ethnic community, Russian, Asian, Latin American, didn't matter, the men would be from that part of the world. Half the women had been intimidated or coerced or swindled into becoming hookers. And they were servicing this population of illegal aliens. Is this in the best interest of that particular ethnic community? Asian, Russian, European, African, Caribbean, Latin American? Of course not. It was disgusting. It was sickening. It was upsetting. And you look at it and you say, well, this is happening because we have illegal aliens. And it's acceptable to do prostitution in their home country. There is no stigma attached the way there is here, perhaps. And so they were there, the women were getting abused, the women were getting exploited, and so it goes. But if you dare stand up and say, hey, wait a minute, this is not what we should be expecting to see in America, then the accusations start. You're a nativist, you're multi-generational. I had a professor at a university falsely accuse me of being a multi-generational, super conservative, whatever. And I said, you know, this is the beginning of a trend, I think. I'm a lifelong registered Democrat. I'm a first-generation American. But the accusations just keep right on coming because that's all that they have left to shoot at you are accusations. Why in the world are we not standing up to these thugs, telling them where they can go with their lies? We've got to stand up to protect our country and to protect our own ways of life. This is not what America was supposed to be about. And I can tell you that I've spoken with quite a few immigrants who have told me in no uncertain terms that they came here 20 or 30 years ago, but if they had come here and found circumstances that we have today, they would have gotten back on the airplane and gone home, including one gentleman who was a limo driver when I went to do an appearance at Fox News. He was from China. And he said, you know, Mr. Cutler, I've been here for 15 years, but if this country had been like this when I got here, I wouldn't have stayed. He said, America has gotten as bad as China. This is not freedom. And he said, there are no opportunities. I mean, this is remarkable. This is remarkable. The American dream is not about $15 an hour. The American dream is about limitless possibilities. But what limitless possibilities can you possibly have when our kids go to colleges, get the degrees, and can't get a job? And listen to the lies from the politicians from both sides of the aisle, and you hear the arguments. Well, our schools are incapable of educating the programmers, engineers, the STEM workers, science, technology, engineering, and math workers. So what choice do we have but to bring in the best and brightest from around the world? Teddy Cruz is good at that statement. And people say to me, oh, Ted Cruz is a conservative. And I tell them, you nitwits, this isn't about left or right, but right or wrong. And that was the point that I made when I addressed the Progressives for Immigration Reform seminar in Washington a couple of weeks ago. Not about left or right, but right or wrong. And I said, so you think that because Cruz is a conservative, he's on the right side? They said, oh, he has to be. I said, well, you should look at what Barbara Jordan stood for. The late Congresswoman, Barbara Jordan, African-American, as liberal as they come, go look up Jordan Commission. Look at what she said about immigration and the harm being done to American families and American workers, particularly among our minority communities. Barbara Jordan's position on immigration is virtually a parallel of where I stand. It's also a parallel of where many of my conservative friends stand. Not about left or right, but right or wrong. We're being stupid in this country. And part of the problem is that when you listen to radio talk shows or you watch television programs, you have intellectual inbreeding. And what do I mean by inbreeding? Very simple. Conservative programs have conservative guests. Liberal programs have liberal guests. And never the twain shall meet. So everyone keeps hearing the same arguments posed by people from their same ideological perspective and have no idea what the other side even stands for, except that they must be awful, because everybody that comes on the programs that they listen to vilifies the other side. This is a divide-and-conquer strategy that is destroying America. When I was a kid, we were encouraged to have debate. Yes, they said don't talk about religion or politics. I remember that. Religion I agree with. Whatever your relationship is or is not with God is between you and God, if you believe in God. But politics? Folks, we need the discussions. The First Amendment talks about the right for peaceable assemblage in addition to freedom of press, speech, and religion. Because the Founding Fathers understood that you can't have a democratic process without debate, without discourse. All they said is, leave the guns, knives, and clubs out of it. Just use your words, as we tell our young kids. Use your words. So we're in a situation where we're vilifying people because, oh, they're liberal. Oh, it's the left's fault. Oh, it's the right fault. Oh, the lunatic Tea Party is. Lunatic Tea Party is. Really? I have spoken at 3 Tea Party conventions. Lauren, who was just on with me, was talking about my first convention that she got me invited to. And when I stood up and said, you know what, I'm from Brooklyn, New York, and I'm a lifelong Democrat, but first and foremost, I'm an American, I got a standing ovation. They have always given me prime time. They've always given me at least 20 or 25 minutes to speak. And even when we disagree, and that does happen, we're very respectful of each other. Crazy Tea Partiers? No. What's crazy are Americans who don't challenge what they're hearing, who don't consider the possibility that maybe there is another side to the discussion. That's what's crazy, folks. That's what's un-American, folks. And so you have Ted Cruz, who wants a 500% increase in H-1B visas. Never mind that Silicon Valley just canned 18,000 highly qualified American workers. Right now, the limit is 65,000. One of the key issues for comprehensive reform that you won't hear anywhere, because this is the big secret being kept by most media, is that in addition to providing unknown millions of illegal aliens with lawful status and identity documents, we would also triple the number of H-1B high-tech visas for computer programmers. But Cruz was very clear. He went to the floor of the Senate during a debate, while the discussion was ongoing, you know, he went to his microphone and went on record and talked about his amendment, Cruz 5. Cruz 5 would increase the number of high-tech visas from the current level of 65,000 to 135,000. And then, of course, the argument is, well, you don't want to do that. You would have kept Albert Einstein out of the United States. And my answer is, that's a lot of bunk. Elon Musk came to the United States from South Africa through Canada. Brilliant guy, founder of SpaceX and PayPal and Tesla. He's here legally. He's doing business here. We need him. He's an asset. I'm thrilled that he immigrated to the United States. That system worked. He's here. We aren't turning away the extraordinary. The only thing extraordinary about the people that these people want to bring in now is that they will work for extraordinary low wages. That's what's extraordinary. By definition, you'd be hard-pressed to tell me that you could identify 325,000 extraordinary workers anywhere in any industry. They talk about Einstein. I mean, goodness gracious. You're talking about a handful of extraordinary people, and we should be attracting them. We should be bringing them here. But why aren't we looking to nurture our own? Because the same politicians who are so quick to tell us that our schools are incapable of turning out the high-tech professionals we desperately need to lead, in the next breath will tell us, however, when foreign students go to those schools, which they've been telling us are incompetent, we should be stapling green cards onto the diplomas of the foreign students. Lack of mouth-ear coordination. Just like with Schumer talking about trespassing when it's the bridge but not when it's America, the schools are incapable unless it's a foreign student who goes there, and then suddenly the schools become more than capable. It doesn't work, and we're not that ignorant. And you got to stop and think about what you're being told, folks. You're being swindled. But what's worse is your children and your grandchildren all being swindled. Swindled by people elected to represent America and Americans. That's where the swindle is. We're told the border is secure. My friend Mark Hager from North Carolina, history professor, backed up with Jenny Beth Martin. You know, the crazy people from the Tea Party Patriots. Crazy, my rear end. These are great Americans. They are great Americans. And they looked at this crisis, and they went down to the border with a film crew and pumped a lot of time and a lot of money. Mark is a full-time professor. How he was able to get time off from work is beyond me, and he's got a wife and children. This guy is going in 15 directions at once, but for the sake of America, Mark went down there. And the film wasn't about Mark. I mean, there were some films out there, my goodness gracious, they're nothing more than cinemagraphic selfies. There's a couple of films in particular that I kind of chuckle every time I think about it. Mark did Alfred Hitchcock sort of cameo where he's on camera just for a couple of moments. But they went down there and told the story. They interviewed Senator Jeff Sessions, Congressman Steve King, Congressman Louie Gohmert. They interviewed the sheriffs, the ranchers, and I'm so thrilled and proud to have been interviewed for this film as well. And it becomes rapidly apparent that there is no security to be found along the border. And they've been talking now, the Republicans, about operational control over 90% of the border. No one even knows what operational control is, so now they're formulating new lingo. It's always about the words, never about the deeds. My mother always used to say to me, may she rest in peace, that actions speak louder than words. All these people offer us are empty words and empty promises that mean nothing, that create illusions but have no substance. That's what passes for leadership in Washington today. We have a dismantled program dismantled by a dismantled administration, by a failed administration that fails to lead. You know, I wish that Obama would be as willing to confront ISIS as he is his own citizens who he's failing to represent by knifing them in the back by these threats, if you will, of a massive immigration amnesty. How about representing the American people? And this isn't about being a Democrat or a Republican. But look, we've been seeing this for quite some time. Quite some time. The question, folks, that you need to ask these folks that claim to represent you is why they are not willing to use the 9/11 Commission report as the starting point for any discussion about immigration. That's truly the question that you need to ask. You need to understand, as I pointed out when I spoke at the event sponsored by Progressives for Immigration Reform, that we are destroying opportunities for our own citizens in this country. And each side is blaming the other. Oh, it's the liberals. Oh, it's the Democrats. It's conservatives. Listen, we are not being represented. And it's the union, by the way, that's screaming bloody murder over immigration, saying to the American people, if we do this amnesty, it will be catastrophic for America. So my conservative friends who jump up and down and talk about civil service unions, I'm proud to tell you that I was a member for the 30 years I was with the old INS, Immigration and Naturalization Service. I was a member of the American Federation of Government Employees. They are not involved in the political campaigns, nor should they be. The Hatch Act makes it a crime for anybody on duty, anybody in the union, to be involved in the political process, period. There's no equivocation. We've got to start looking at the real world. Understand that those civil servant unions are the only folks who are able to go out there and tell the truth, to be the whistleblowers. Because I will tell you that the people who work for the Department of Homeland Surrender are being threatened with everything from dismissal to God knows prosecution if they dare tell the truth. Not because they would be divulging national security secrets, but because they would be filling the American people on the way they're being betrayed by their very own government. Their very own government. It has to stop. There's an election coming, and not many of the choices are great ones, I have to tell you. We do have some good leaders, which is why I'm opposed to mandatory, this whole idea that after so many turns in office, these folks have to leave. I don't think that's a good idea, because we would lose some real treasures. People like Senator Jeff Sessions, Congressman Lou Barletta, Louie Gohmert, David Vitter, Chuck Grassley. I want these people to stay in, and term limits should be achieved in the voting booth by Americans who know what in the world is really going on and making certain that there's integrity to the voting process. It is not unfair to expect that people who vote will show ID. It's absolutely remarkable that when there are elections being conducted around the world, they send the likes of a Jimmy Carter out there to make certain that there's integrity to the voting process. This is the same guy who ordered immigration agents to not arrest illegal aliens during the census because it was a form of gerrymandering, to make certain that congressional seats went to the big cities where the greatest number of illegal aliens tended to congregate, so they would get more seats in the House and more seats in the Electoral College. Yeah, there's real strong morality to that concept. Let's play the game. It's not the old saying was it's not whether you win or lose, but how you play. Let me tell you, for this crop, it's all about winning and losing, and they'll do anything to win and anything to avoid losing. That's not the American way. And when Gates and Zuckerberg and these other thugs from Silicon Valley jump up and talk about the brilliant people from around the world, they need to look at their own birth certificates. These are self-hating Americans. They were born in this country, but they hate Americans. It was Zuckerberg who had a hackathon where he and other members of the computer industry, I mean, you couldn't begin to pay this guy for his time, personally tutored kids to teach them how to write computer code. What an incredible opportunity. But guess what the one prerequisite was? You had to be an illegal alien to qualify. Why not do that for American children living in poverty? When I met with a member of Congress, I said to him, Mr. Chairman, my question is very simple. if you've ever been in some of those buildings in some of the toughest neighborhoods where I did a lot of my work as an immigration agent, having spent half my time with the drug task force, you walk into buildings where rats run through the hallways, and those rats are bigger than cats, where the stench of poverty permeates your nostrils for weeks, where you walk into a house and bugs are everywhere. These kids sleep with the bugs. They go to bed hungry at night. There's no heat in the wintertime. My question isn't what would those kids be willing to do to get out of that kind of grinding poverty where bullets fly through the air outside their windows every night and maybe come through the windows some nights. What wouldn't they be willing to do? The solution to poverty is not $15 an hour as a minimum wage. The solution to poverty is real opportunities for real jobs. And if you don't want to help kids living in the ghetto, why wouldn't you do it to help GIs returning from combat? Maybe they've lost their limbs. Maybe they've suffered other injuries, physical, emotional, or both. Why not provide them with that opportunity? And the answer is simple. Gates and Zuckerberg have no use for the average American, because if they did, they would be determined to do what they could to elevate American kids living in poverty. I'm sick and tired of being told that we lack compassion when we say let's enforce our immigration laws. I have plenty of compassion, folks, but my compassion begins at home. My compassion begins with American children living in poverty and broken families where there are no opportunities, and all too often role models are criminals. If we don't change this cycle of crime and violence and drug use, we're finished. If you want to know if the border is secure, the easiest metric and the most reliable metric is to look at the price and availability of heroin and cocaine. We don't produce an ounce of those poisons here in the United States. Consequently, every gram of those substances represents a smuggled commodity. They are contraband. We are in the midst of the worst heroin epidemic this country has ever seen. Police departments from coast to coast and border to border are issuing the antidote to heroin overdoses to their police department members. New York State, by the way, last year was where DEA seized the greatest amount of heroin last year, 35%. 35%. And yet, if you dare criticize the president or the administration, the race card gets thrown about, all this other stuff gets thrown about. Go into the neighborhoods. See the damage drug use and violence does to those kids. It impacts everybody. But the impact is the greatest in those tough neighborhoods. It breaks your heart. Children living in poverty aren't stupid, they're just poor. They could be a treasure for this country if opportunities could only be provided for them. But you won't hear that from Gates or Zuckerberg. You won't hear it from Obama either, by the way. This business about we're going to create jobs, it's time to start liberating the jobs. Another thought. We're very much concerned and should be about the national debt, and it keeps growing. Every year between $125 and $200 billion gets wired out of the United States by foreign workers, both legal and illegal, who send their money back to their home country. Globally, you may be surprised to know that the country that sends the greatest amount of remittances back home are citizens of India. And a couple of years ago, when the United States said that we were going to double the price of an H-1B visa application, they threatened to go to the UN and file a lawsuit against us for an unfair practice. This is nuts. Folks, this is absolute madness. And yet the news doesn't report on this stuff. If you go to the UN website or you go to the World Bank website, they will tell you that comprehensive reform is expected to greatly increase the remittances, the money flowing out of our economy. We are in trouble already. This would just speed the process of America falling off the edge. Why doesn't McCain talk about the remittances? Why doesn't Lindsey Graham talk about the remittances? We know why Chuck Schumer won't, because we know where his campaign contributions are likely coming from, but that's probably the case for all these characters. Understand this is not about xenophobia. We are the most ethnically diverse country on this planet, and that's fine. I have no issue with that. I live in New York, the most ethnically diverse city in the country. I'm fine with that. What I'm not fine with is that we have no control over who comes into the country, including criminals and terrorists and people who are supplanting American workers in the workforce. Bringing in tons of foreign students who can't speak English further drags down our educational system, the same system that we hear all these complaints about and the justifications for bringing in foreign workers. We're making it increasingly difficult, if not impossible, for our teachers to be effective in their jobs because increasingly they're dealing with more and more kids from third world countries who aren't even fluent in the English language. This isn't rocket science, folks. This is common sense if you're only willing to do a little bit of independent thinking. And the time has come to do a lot of independent thinking. And the time has come for Americans to stand up and get their voices heard, to no longer be hoodwinked and just be a victim of the lies and BS being spewed by people who promise that they're doing what's best for us. That's like the guy putting cheese on a mousetrap and making the claim that he's simply trying to feed hungry mice. You cannot make this stuff up. It's always good joining you at the end of the week. I plan to be here again next week at the same time where we will continue the conversation. But, you know, meanwhile, I want all of you to please go to those websites that mean so much to me, michaelcutler.net, capsweb.org, Front Page Magazine. They do a great job as well. But look at the articles in Caps Web. Hammering away at the environment, hammering away on wages, hammering away on all these issues. They have a laser focus. And the folks who I'm proud to join writing for that magazine provide some important insight. They've been running commercials around California and elsewhere. They are on a mission of educating our fellow Americans. And the best you can do to help them with that mission is to pass the word along about capsweb.org, as well as, of course, michaelcutler.net and Front Page Magazine. So I want you to remember that there is an election coming. Please vote. I always like to make the point, democracy is not a spectator sport. But not being a spectator requires a lot more than just voting. You need to become very familiar with your elected representative, and more important, they need to become familiar with you. If they're not willing to talk to you, then they need to be voted out of office. Nobody who works for an employer would dare tell the employer who calls a meeting, "I'm sorry, I don't have the time to attend the meeting." A politician who refuses to debate, a politician who refuses to hold town hall meetings, and a politician who refuses to sit down with constituents needs to be removed. And I don't care if they're with the Hopping Kangaroo Party. My parents taught me that I would teach people how they should treat me by demonstrating consistently what I was willing to accept. So my question is, ladies and gentlemen, what are you willing to accept? Hold that thought. Happy Halloween to those enjoying the season. See you next week, same time, right here on the Michael Cutler Hour. Good night, everybody.